From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, September 20th. I'm Abby Larico. Every day there seem to be new threats of violence against schools in the St. Louis region, and those threats are having an impact.
It's extremely difficult. And I hear each day the level of concern that people have for their children.
More on the disruption it's all causing in area classrooms coming up on The Gateway. The Francis Howell School Board approved a policy amendment that will allow hate speech, false science, and false historical claims in educational material. The Thursday decision reverses an August vote by the board to ban such material. School Board member Stephen Blair voted against the change.
What I don't want any teacher to feel like they have to present a view that might be equal to hate speech or false science or false historical claims, or for a teacher to just want to mention someone they saw on the internet that has no scientific background or checks the box for hate speech.
The board for the district in St. Charles County has a 5-2 conservative majority that approved the policy. Last month, the board passed a ban on new books that contain explicit sexual content or descriptions of excessive drug use or crime. Southern Illinois University Edwardsville is reporting a roughly $10 million financial deficit this school year. The figure was presented and passed in the university's budget by the SIU Board of Trustees last week after the college announced a slight decrease in fall enrollment. Dr. James Miner is the chancellor at SIUE. He says the deficit presented was anticipated and the university has the revenue to make up the gap.
We've got some work to do for sure to shore up our enrollment, to make sure that we hit the targets that we've established for the university, and to also be careful managers and stewards in terms of our operational expenses and managing them carefully so that they don't exceed revenue.
Miner says the university has been able to save money in campus operations over the last 2 years through modernizing operational systems and with the use of technology. An East St. Louis judge heard closing arguments Thursday in a federal trial over Illinois' ban on semi-automatic guns and large-capacity magazines. Mawa Iqbal has more.
As the trial came to a close, U.S. District Judge Stephen McGlynn invoked the 1917 race riots in East St. Louis, which took place across the street from the courthouse. He asked the courtroom, what would have happened if some of the black residents were armed with guns like the AR-15 that are now banned in Illinois? Lead attorney for the gun rights groups challenging the law, David Segal, says he was moved by McGlynn's remarks.
The issues in this case, for some, is the difference between potential victim and actual victim.
McGlynn is expected to rule on whether the ban violates the Second Amendment in about a month. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A federal judge yesterday declared a mistrial in the case of former AT&T Illinois President Paul La Schiazza after the jury's nearly 15 hours of deliberations resulted in a deadlock. Capital News Illinois reports the jury reached a stalemate on all 5 counts alleging La Schiazza bribed former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Judge Robert Gentleman will meet with attorneys next week to decide next steps, which could include a retrial. La Schiazza was accused of arranging a no-work contract for a Madigan political ally. In exchange, the feds say, the powerful speaker allowed AT&T's legislation to pass in the Illinois House. Meanwhile, Madigan faces his own corruption trial in the same courthouse next month. Aviation giant Boeing will soon begin temporary furloughs amid an ongoing strike in Seattle. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports some of the 17,000 Boeing employees in our region will be affected.
Boeing hasn't said exactly how many St. Louis area employees will be furloughed. The company's president and CEO said employees would be notified on Thursday, and the temporary leave of absence will start in the coming days. The employees will keep their benefits and jobs. They'll be off for 1 week every 4 weeks during the union strikes. Boeing has multiple facilities in the region, like St. Charles, North County, and the Metro East, that all support the defense side of the company. Union workers from Boeing's commercial side in the Pacific Northwest walked off the job last week after its members rejected a tentative agreement with the company. With production down during the strike, company leaders hope the furloughs will preserve its future. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Gateway Arch Park Foundation announced Thursday it is the local buyer under contract to purchase the long-vacant Millennium Hotel. The hotel sits between the Arch grounds and Busch Stadium. It's been unoccupied for 10 years. In a press release, the foundation says it plans to work with the city, Greater St. Louis, Inc., and the St. Louis Development Corporation on a plan to redevelop the property. This comes after the city threatened to use eminent domain on the property, and Mayor Tashara Jones tasked Greater St. Louis, Inc. and SLDC to come up with a plan for it earlier this year. Drug overdoses have killed hundreds of Missourians each year for years, but they're now decreasing in the state. That's according to provisional federal health data. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports early data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows the number of deaths is dropping after increasing during the coronavirus pandemic.
CDC data shows between April 2023 and April 2024, drug-related deaths decreased 17% in Missouri. Still, researchers say more than 1,800 people in Missouri died from fentanyl and other drugs during that 12-month span. Rachel Winograd is director of addiction science at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. She says the data indicates interventions such as health departments distributing the overdose reversal drug naloxone could be working.
They have put support behind direct distribution to people who are most likely to experience or witness overdose events, which are people who use drugs themselves.
Winograd adds she thinks young people are not initiating drug use at the same rate as previous generations. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A wealthy secret society in St. Louis has removed its mascot. Founded in 1878 as the Veiled Prophet Society, the group, now known as VP St. Louis, says it removed the Veiled Prophet figure entirely last year. But the group isn't saying exactly why. St. Louis Public Radio's Danny Wisentowski reports.
Founded as an all-white men's club in 1878, the Veiled Prophet attracted controversy for decades. It opened its membership to black people in 1979 and later changed its name. Michael Ruich is the chief operating officer of VP St. Louis. He says the group removed the Veiled Prophet figure last year as a way of moving on from its past, even though VP remains in the name.
VP is just letters. It stands for nothing. There is not Veiled Prophet. We've kept a VP, but it doesn't really represent anything.
VP St. Louis also has a community service foundation, a debutante ball, and puts on the annual America's Birthday Parade on July 4th. The Veiled Prophet was removed from the parade in 2019. I'm Danny Wisentowski, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can hear more about the Veiled Prophet in the latest episode of the We Live Here podcast. Over the last 2 weeks, school officials and law enforcement have been bombarded with threats of violence against schools in the St. Louis region. Although only one of these threats has so far proven to be credible, authorities are taking them all seriously. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Moline spoke with reporter Lucretia Wembley about the toll these threats are taking on students, teachers, and law enforcement.
So, Lucretia, how many threats of violence against schools have we seen in recent weeks?
Well, we've started keeping track, and just in the last 2 weeks, we've learned of around 20 threats against schools in the St. Louis region, and there are likely more that we are not aware of.
That certainly seems like a lot. How many of these threats have been credible?
Well, so far, just one, where police found a former Rittner High School student with a loaded gun in the parking lot of the district's Husky Academy on Tuesday. But police arrested another juvenile in East St. Louis on Wednesday for making a threat against the high school there. But there was no indication that they intended to act on that threat.
Beyond the public safety aspect of these threats of violence, what impact are these threats having on students trying to learn and the teachers trying to instruct them?
Well, several schools have either canceled classes or held classes virtually while law enforcement investigated these threats. But Rittner Superintendent Chris Kilbride says educators, staff, and families are tired at this point.
It's extremely difficult. And I hear each day the level of concern that people have for their children as they come to school. And I just wonder, at what point can we all commit to having a better reality for our students?
And Lucretia, what do we know about who's making these threats?
Well, the juvenile arrested with a loaded gun at Rittner was a former Rittner High School student. In a couple of other cases, authorities have arrested local juveniles for making the threats, although they don't appear to have been credible. But in some other cases, law enforcement believes that these threats are not being made by local people, and in some cases, that they're being made by people outside of the country.
You mentioned law enforcement investigating these threats. The St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department held a press conference this week to talk about how they're handling these threats in their jurisdiction. What were some takeaways from what they had to say?
Police say perpetrators will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and suspects detained for posting violent threats online will likely be charged with making terroristic threats, and they could face felony gun charges.
Did officials have any advice on how to share these threats with law enforcement?
Metropolitan Police Department spokesperson Mitch McCoy advises people not to share screenshots, as that makes it harder to find perpetrators for police.
You can only share something on social media so much before you're actually not helping. And so if you're going to be the one to pick a screenshot and share, call the police, too. Call 911. That is an emergency.
That makes sense. If you see something, you should say something. Where should parents and students share any threats that they become aware of?
Well, anyone can submit anonymous tips online about school violence concerns through the Missouri State Highway Patrol's Courage to Report tip line. And insight can be shared through the mobile app or by text or calling 1-866-748-7047. And school districts have also encouraged families and students to contact their child's school directly with any information about safety concerns. Some schools, like the Rittner School District, also have tip lines on their school website that can be utilized as well.
We'll certainly continue to monitor these threats in our newsroom as well. Lucretia Wembley is a general assignment reporter in the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom. Lucretia, thanks so much for your time today and your coverage of this important story.
Thanks, Brian.
Lucretia was speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Moline. More of our coverage of this at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.